Indeed, over the past 4 weeks, we've been able to look and center our life in Jesus as servant. And we started by looking at Jesus as servant of the poor, and then Jesus as servant proclaimer. Jesus as servant for mercy and justice, and last week Jesus as servant of reconciliation and peace. This is our final week, Jesus as suffering servant. Jesus as a servant of sacrifice. But in a real sense, this week, we're focusing on something that has really undergirded every other week that we've had up until this point. You see, this idea of Jesus as suffering servant, the idea of Jesus as the one who models sacrifices service, it is seen in all of the others. Indeed, as you go to serve the poor, there's an element of sacrifice there. As you are willing to share yourself in your witness to the gospel, remember, our faith is always personal but never private. There is a risk of sacrifice and indeed suffering that can be involved. Taking on the cause of mercy and justice for those who are on the margins can lead to suffering and indeed sacrifice. And coming together under reconciliation, to build reconciliation, to build peace, indeed involves sacrifice so often. So Jesus as suffering servant, Jesus as the one who embodies sacrificial living, is not a new concept to us today. Indeed, perhaps it is the concept, the image that we have of Christ already. And it indeed is an image that is in our world. Friends, take a moment, if you will. Take a moment to consider and think. As you think of the word servanthood, as you think of sacrifice, as you think of this image of suffering servant, take a moment to imagine, to picture groups or people in your own mind. What comes to your mind when you think about those names, those terms? What characteristics? I'm going to ask you, those brave souls that are out there, to share a bit with the community what did come to your mind. I'll go first since I knew this was coming. But when I think of sacrifice, of those who suffer on behalf of others, of those who witness to that, one of the first things I think of when I think of servanthood is I think of those who serve in the military and those military families. Particularly those military families who are away from their loved one. Whenever I've seen those pictures of people who have returned from serving overseas, I've heard them and seen them that embrace, and I witness really the sacrifice that they've given. Indeed, when you see the coffins come home with the American flag over it, you really know. But I think of that. Another group that I think of are caregivers. And this could be parents taking care of their children, children taking care of their aging or ailing parents. I've seen spouses take care of each other, and I've seen that so often, and it has been amazing to see what they go through. For me, those images come to my mind. Now, who's the brave soul that's going to share? Please, feel free to share. Mike.
You know, you can count on me.
I can count on Mike.
I'm not Catholic, obviously, but they've been in the news a lot lately. And it always kind of impresses me to see somebody that at age 25 or 26 decides, I'm dedicating my entire life to the Lord. It goes into Catholic priesthood or to a monastery or whatever. And, you know, we think of Sunday morning church and then we have our family and our jobs, but this is total dedication of your entire life to the Lord. And that's pretty impressive. That's sacrifice.
That's a great one.
And all the things we know in terms of home.
Yeah. Absolutely. Thank you, Mike. Yes, I saw a hand go up. Bruce. A great one. Missionaries, absolutely. So, what else? Yeah, John. Yeah, the firemen that died on 9/11, but indeed, that service industry of firemen and policemen and those who serve in all of those ways. Any others? There's a lot. Yeah, Dana.
I have one, but I'm probably not going to be able to say
it. It's okay. Absolutely, absolutely, absolutely. The sacrifice and the giving up of something like that, absolutely. I know a person in our congregation who gave up a kidney for someone they had never met. We all know about that with Clark. I think of yesterday, we celebrated with Chuck White and his family, celebrated his life, and I think of the sacrifice he made. I don't know how many of you know about him going to Vietnam to be Santa for those kids over there. Now, I love these. These are awesome, awesome images. And I want us to think for a moment what all of them have in common. Every single one of them have these four things in common when you think about what it means to live a life of servanthood. They all had a willingness, number one, to answer the call, whether they liked it or not, right? They had to say, okay, I'm answering this call, whether it was to go into ministry or to adopt children or to join the military or to take on the role of caregiver for your spouse who has become sick or for an older parent or for your child who was born with needs. Number two, there was a willingness to see a larger picture. That as they enter that, they say, you know, I'm doing this as part of something that's greater than me. It's not just about me and my needs, but it's a willingness to see something larger. Number three, it was because you can see something larger, it was a willingness to acknowledge the needs of others above your own. And a willingness to say, I'm going to put that ahead of myself. And finally, fourth, it was a willingness to respond with sacrifice. Knowing that as you answer that call, as you see the big picture, it's going to involve this kind of sacrifice. Now, as we think about those characteristics of what it means to be a servant, think of the life of Jesus. A willingness to answer the call, whether they liked it or not. Remember at Jesus' baptism, Jesus is born, but then it wasn't until he was 30 years old that he is baptized. Remember at his baptism, the Holy Spirit comes upon him and says, you are my son, the beloved. With you I am well pleased. And at that moment, he went directly into temptation. All of the three, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, tell the story of him going directly from baptism to temptation. And Jesus had to think and had to decide, am I going to answer this call? And then we remember his words at Gethsemane, don't we? As he is sitting there scared, knowing that the cross is coming. And he says, Lord, if it is your will, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but your will be done. As we live into our life of following Jesus who modeled sacrifice, the very first thing we are called to do is answer that call. Knowing what's coming, but being willing to answer it as Jesus did. Jesus saw the larger picture too. Remember at Jesus' mission statement where he quoted Isaiah 61, I have come to bring good news to the poor, he says, release to the captives, the blind may see again. He said this in Nazareth and he saw a bigger picture about who he was. Throughout the Gospels we are told how Jesus is always pointed towards Jerusalem. Though he's doing his miracles and his healings and he's doing his teachings, he is focused. He sees the bigger picture. I'm on my way to Jerusalem and I'm going there because it is there in that moment on that cross where my purpose is revealed. Jesus then, because he saw the bigger picture, was willing. Indeed, he came to acknowledge the needs of others above his own. The healings throughout Scripture acknowledge this. But remember when he was praying in the Gospel of Mark, he had been healing all day and he went away for just a little bit of R&R and he's sitting there and he's praying and then the disciples come up and go, Jesus, there's more people down here. And Jesus gets up and says, well, let's go. This is why I've come. We are reminded of how he looked upon the crowds and we are told that he had compassion on them. We are reminded how he saw and it was hurting so bad because his friend Lazarus had died. And we are told that he was deeply moved in spirit and disturbed by what death had done. And so he had compassion on them. He says in Matthew 20 as well as in Mark, he says that the Son of Man had come not to be served, but to serve. So Jesus answered the call. He saw the larger picture, and in doing so, he put others' needs above himself, and finally that led him to a life of sacrifice. On Maundy Thursday, we enact Jesus' washing of the disciples' feet. But what a great picture of a servant Messiah, the one who gets on his knees and washes his disciples' feet. The act of sacrifice that he made in passion on the cross. Jesus' life modeled not simply sacrifice, but he modeled a new paradigm, a new way of looking at the world. Looking at the world not from the worldly point of view, but from God's point of view. That God sees a world where people put others before themselves. God sees a world where we are willing to take on difficulty and even suffering on behalf of those who are in need. Because in the midst of doing that, we are connecting ourselves to God in a way that we could not otherwise do. Jesus models suffering servanthood. And it undergirds everything else that we are as people of faith. If you get nothing at all from Lent, except the fact that you were called to be a servant who sacrifices, then that's good enough. Because friends, that is what leads us into being the people of God that He would have us be. Thank God for His service to us. Let us respond by serving the world that He loves. In Jesus' name, amen.